Good morning, and welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral for the celebration of the Eucharist on this 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Music for today's liturgy can be found online at www.stpatrickscathedral.org/live or in the blue St. Michael's hymnal, which can be found in your pew. Our celebrant for this Mass is Father Enrique Salvo, rector of St. Patrick's Cathedral. Please now rise and join in singing our entrance hymn, which could be found in your hymnal on page 750. Sing Praise to Our Creator, page 750.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Welcome everyone to St. Patrick's Cathedral, as well as everyone joining this Holy Mass in so many places around the world, but united in this Eucharist. Let us begin today by recalling our sins and asking our Lord to grant us His peace, His mercy, and His forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words and what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Kyrie eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Kyrie.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, protector of those who hope in you, without whom nothing has firm foundation, nothing is holy, bestow in abundance your mercy upon us, and grant that with you as our ruler and guide, we may use the good things that pass in such a way as to hold fast even now to those that endure forever. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In those days, the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sin so grave that I must go down and see whether or not their actions fully correspond to the cry against them that comes to me. I mean to find out." While Abraham's visitors walked on farther towards Sodom, the Lord remained standing before Abraham. Then Abraham drew nearer and said, "Will you sweep away the innocent with the guilty? Suppose there were 50 innocent people in the city. Would you wipe out the place rather than spare it for the sake of the 50 innocent people within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to make the innocent die with the guilty, so that the innocent and the guilty would be treated alike. Should not the judge of all the world act with justice? The Lord replied, see, if I find 50 innocent people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham spoke up again. See how I am presuming to speak to my Lord, though I am but dust and ashes. What if there are 5 less than 50 innocent people? Will you destroy the whole city because of those 5? He answered, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. But Abraham persisted, saying, what if only 40 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it for the sake of the 40. Then Abraham said, let not my Lord grow impatient if I go on. What if only 30 are found there? He replied, I will forbear doing it if I can find but 30 there. Still, Abraham went on. Since I have thus dared to speak to my Lord, what if there are no more than 20? The Lord answered, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. But he still persisted. Please, let not my Lord grow angry if I speak up this last time. What if there are at least 10 there? He replied, for the sake of those 10, I will not destroy it. The word of the Lord.
Your right hand saves me. The Lord will
complete what he has done for me. Your kindness, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the work of your hands. Lord, on the day I called for help, you answered me.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And even when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he brought you to life along with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims, which was opposed to us. He also removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend to whom he goes at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at my house from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to give the visitor the loaves because of their friendship, he will get up to give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In today's Gospel, Jesus reminds us of something that, of course, should be ingrained in our being, which is the importance, not only the importance, the basic necessity for our soul to have prayer in our lives, to pray to God, to have that communion, that communication with God, our Creator. And first of all, it's something that we should marvel at, that God created us in such a way that we are meant to always be in communication with him. We were never meant to walk this life in a way that makes us feel like we're lonely, that we're not protected, that we're on our own. We are meant to walk this life knowing that we are sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father who loves us and wants to live our lives with him, and that we live and remember God, who has the power to create the vastness of the universe, also has the power to focus on each one of us as if we were his only concern. So when we pray, we know that God is listening and trying his best to come back to us and to with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, with so many ways, to let us know his will in all things. And what a beautiful thing that is. And in today's readings, we see Abraham very boldly, basically negotiating with God to see how many people, and he dropped it and dropped it till he made it to 10. That's a bold negotiation. Of course, God knew what he was going to do anyways, but it's a reminder that he wants us to have that boldness with him. And then Jesus gives us this story about the neighbor, the persistent neighbor. And if it wasn't because of their friendship, he says, at least maybe because he just wants to go to bed and get you out of the way. But whatever, it's a boldness. It's a type of trust that we have with the most intimate people in our lives. That's the type of trust all the more that God wants us to have with him. And therefore, first of all, and it may, many times we struggle in our prayer lives. We can get distracted. Many times we are not disciplined enough to make proper time for it. We sometimes are not mindful of what we're praying and what we're even saying, or even we're like in the greatest prayer always, which is the Mass and the most powerful prayer if we combine everything, beginning with the Eucharist. And sometimes we let our minds, even if we're here physically, not be there very present, and not to mention our hearts. And it can be difficult. It can be difficult, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's something that happens even to the greatest of saints. But that is why we also remember that we have help even in that. And today, in today's gospel, Jesus, as the apostles were probably sometimes also struggling with prayer and asked him to do so, he teaches them the Our Father. And the Our Father, which we so much can take for granted, is a prayer that if we say with the Our Father with all of our love and our mind, it's the perfect prayer. And today we heard this is the gospel according to Luke, and the one we say from the prayer we say is from the Gospel of Matthew. Same Our Father, it's just the translation changed a bit. But the Our Father that we say and should say at least once a day, more if we're saying the rosary, but at least once a day, we should never have a day without saying the Our Father, is something that all throughout the history of the church has been something that all of the great saints have reflected on, and how important the Our Father is. Saint Augustine, one of the first and greatest church fathers of the church, he would say that the Our Father was a summary of the entire scriptures. Every psalm, he would say, every parable Jesus taught, every message, every word of Jesus can be summed up in the Our Father. St. Thomas Aquinas, another one of the biggest brilliant minds in history and one of our greatest saints, he would say that the Our Father was the perfect prayer. And not only because Jesus teaches us what to want, but even what order to ask for these things. Because as the Our Father continues, we, of course, just like the Ten Commandments, it always begins with God, and then it flows into other aspects of our life. St. Teresa of Avila, who was a great mystic of the church, she was a Carmelite nun, a great mystic that had such a gift of prayer and even taught us, like, the interior castle, so many ways to pray. She would say that the Our Father was perfect to contemplate, for contemplative prayer. She would say, pray the Our Father, but take an hour praying the Our Father. And she would often have her nuns do that, because everything that we are praying in the Our Father, there's so much there. And so she would say, contemplate every word. If you say in the first word, great, that means you're really understanding what Jesus is teaching us. St. Therese, who trusted and taught us the little way of trusting our Lord, she was very frank all the time, especially since she had some physical issues and so on, that sometimes she would struggle with prayer or fall asleep or get distracted or just not be up for it. But she would say that when that would be happening, she would just say a beautifully said Our Father and a Hail Mary, and then her soul would be once again refreshed. And even in Jerusalem, there's a beautiful church it's a church dedicated to the Our Father. It's called the Pater Noster. It's there in the Mount of Olives, where tradition says that's the place where Jesus taught the disciples the Our Father. And so a French princess in the 19th century, she bought the land, she built a beautiful church, and you have the Our Father written in 150 languages, which reminds us that the Our Father is for all of us. So the Our Father, something that we take for granted, is such a powerful gift that Jesus Christ gave us for us to have communion with God. And then we have no excuse in saying, I don't know how to pray. If we know the Our Father, we know how to pray. And so let's think about it. Let's think about the different parts, because many times we say it from top to bottom and maybe not put too much mindfulness. I'm just going to a bit of a summary. We should, as St. Teresa of Avila say, put a lot into in thought and mindfulness into it and our hearts into it. But just beginning with the first two words, the name of the prayer itself, Our Father, is in itself something so grand. Because first of all, Jesus is reminding us that God is our Father. And Jesus goes ahead and often tells us to call our Father Abba, which would be a very simple, sweet way of calling the Father, like Dad or Papa, or something that a child would say to their loving father, to have that trust and that dependence on him. And so it's a reminder that we have our Heavenly Father that created us, but then that he's also our Father. It doesn't start with my Father. It starts with our Father. The Father of Jesus Christ is our Father as well. So there in itself, just with those two words, we are reminded and summarized that the greatest commandment is to love God before all things and to love our neighbor as ourselves, because we're all brothers and sisters under our Father in heaven. That in itself should give us so much to be grateful about, to pray about. Then we go on and we describe our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. which is a reminder that we trust him and he wants us to see him as someone that we trust, but that he is holy, that he is God and we are not, that it's in his hands in the end. He's reminding us that he is God of heaven and earth, who we are right now addressing ourselves to. So it's a big deal. And it's something that we should, in that moment, be humbled by, that we are able to have that conversation with the creator of the universe in such a trusting way. Then we go, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are asking then the greatest thing that we can ask God for here on earth, which is that his kingdom of love, the kingdom that Jesus Christ came to bring us through the Father and the Holy Spirit, that it be the kingdom that lives in on earth, that it's everything is about the rules of heaven, the rules of the kingdom, the rules of love, the rules of peace and justice and mercy, the rules of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Basically, to do God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, God's will is that we are that we, each and every one of us, are the people that he created us to be his instruments of love here in this world. And if we all were living according to God's will, and we all let God shape us according to his will, the world would be a different place. The Holy Spirit would be in charge, and so much of the atrocities that we see in our daily lives are going to be, they're not going to be an issue anymore if we really were able to live our lives that way. Evil will always be there, but at the end, it's the will of God that will be in charge. Then we ask him, which is fine and good, for our daily lives. Give us this day our daily bread. And of course, that's just not the bread that we eat. It's the bread. It's just our sustenance, our livelihood, everything that we need to live in this life, and that's something that we should also be aware to make sure that all of our brothers and sisters also have enough of, and that everyone has their dignity as human beings. And of course, it's also been interpreted many times that our daily bread is the Eucharist that sustains our souls, which we not only ask for the sustenance, of course, of our body, which is important while we live here on earth, but also our souls. And then we go on to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That is all about mercy. And it's not only, it's a hard thing we're saying there. Like if we expect and we trust that we'll be forgiven, especially if we go to the confessional, but it's very important for us to hear what we're saying here, that we also must be forgiving. Because what happens is that if we refuse to forgive other people, and Jesus tells us this in so many ways, through so many parables, through the witness of his life, if we don't forgive people, if we don't forgive others or even ourselves or different circumstances in our life, then in a way we're sending ourselves a message that we don't trust in mercy, that the concept of mercy is not something that's really existent, that it's not concrete. It's not something that we can live with. It's not something that we believe in. And so if we don't believe in mercy or the concept of it because we don't want to give it unto others, then when it's our turn to ask for forgiveness, we're not going to believe in it. So we're not going to believe that we can possibly be forgiven for our trespasses. And yet Jesus is asking us to not only ask for that, but to be forgiving to one another's, again, our brothers and sisters under the same Our Father. And then give us our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. That's actually one that it's good to note, because Pope Francis, some years ago, he prayed in Spanish. He prayed in Italian. He prayed in Latin. He didn't know English very much. But when he found out that in the English translation of the Our Father, it says, "Lead us not into temptation," he was a little shocked, and he wanted the translation to be changed into what it says in most of the languages, like Spanish, which is, "Don't let us fall into temptation." Because he says, God does not tempt us, the enemy tempts us, and what we're asking God is for him to help us to resist temptation. And the reason it happened, it's just sometimes translations don't get it all right. We get a lot of our English translations from like the King James Bible and so on, and just the way they did it, they would go directly without looking at the meaning when they would put down. It doesn't mean that most of the things are wrong. It just means that like every so often we find this. If you remember correctly, in 2011, we changed a lot of the translations of the Mass to be more in uniform with the rest of the world. And so Pope Francis said that. They told him that's going to be very complicated, and it's better to just teach people that even though we say that, to remember that God is not tempting us, but he is trying to prevent us from falling into temptation when we ask for his protection, which then takes us to the last sentence, that is, deliver us from evil, because evil is real, and evil is there in so many ways. But God and his love is so much more powerful, and he can deliver us from evil. And when we are under the wing of this Heavenly Father that loves us so much, even though evil's always going to try to get to us, nothing can really touch us when we are under God's protection. Because in the big picture, too, we must see that everything, as Jesus says, that everything we ask for, we will receive. It's not just here on earth. We have to look at the big picture in heaven. Many of the things that we would want to happen now are not meant to happen now. But because of that, we are even all the more going to live our lives according to God's will in the big picture of our life in eternity in heaven. So, again, St. Teresa of Avila would say, take an hour praying the Our Father. We're not going to take an hour here in meditating the different Our Fathers, but I think it's a reminder that we have this beautiful prayer to sustain our lives, our hearts, our minds, our relationship with God, and let's take advantage of it. Let's not just parrot it. Let's say it with our hearts and with our minds, because it is the perfect prayer. It's the prayer that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, taught him. It is how Jesus would have prayed to Abba, to the Heavenly Father. And now we know how to do it too. So let's do it with that same love and devotion. God bless you. And now let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us ask our Heavenly Father to help us with all of our needs.
for Pope Leo XIV, for our shepherd, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, for all clergy, religious, and laity, that they may be holy and effective in their mission to draw all people to Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Look, hear our prayer.
For peace among and within nations, and for those suffering in war-torn lands, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That God bless and strengthen all families in faith, hope, and love. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That young people may ask their Father in heaven to give them the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all our beloved dead, that they may enjoy the fullness of eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your love, for sending us Jesus to bring your kingdom on earth so that we may always be in union with you. We ask you to help us to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to grow in that trust and to grow in the gift of prayer. We ask you to help us with this and with all of our needs. We present to you each day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our offertory hymn can be found in the online worship program, Seek Ye First.
Thank you. Pray, brothers and sisters, that this my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father. Accept, O Lord, we pray, the offerings which we bring from the abundance of your gifts, that through the powerful working of your grace, these most sacred mysteries may sanctify our present way of life and lead us to eternal gladness through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks,
Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you laid the foundations of the world and have arranged the changing of times and seasons. You formed man in your own image and set humanity over the whole world in all its wonder to rule in your name over all you have made and forever praise you in your mighty works through Christ our Lord. And so, with all the angels, we praise you as in joyful celebration we acclaim. By sending down your spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, and Timothy, our Bishop, and all the clergy.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the Blessed Apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching,
Let us pray as Jesus taught us, and let's put our hearts and minds into it. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, which can be found in your hymnal on page 784, The King of Love, page 784.
And we
And our second communion hymn can also be found in your hymnal on page 521, Father, We Thank Thee.
Let us pray. We have consumed, O Lord, the divine sacrament, the perpetual memorial of the passion of your Son. Grant, we pray, that this gift, which he himself gave us with love beyond all telling, may profit us for salvation through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Mass has ended. Let us go in peace.
Please join in singing our recessional hymn on page 601 in your hymnal. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee.
Joyful.